everyone, my name is Werner. You may call me Varys. You are like a bunch of people together. I was looking forward to tonight. I heard a lot about you from Andre. He prays a lot for you guys. He loves you a lot. And I can see why. You're really special. And I've got something on my heart for you guys tonight. But quickly, just something about myself. About 16 years ago, I gave my heart to Jesus. And I didn't want to let go. I was on my knees in a very wild church in Wellington. Very wild church. Worship. Yeah, the church's name is First Love. Worship never ended. Sometimes I wondered, you know, how can these people just go on? But I kept going. I couldn't stay away. There was something there. And then the one morning, I ended up on my knees and I was just sobbing. I was crying. And I'm not a very emotional person, but I couldn't stop the tears. And I remember it was a wooden floor like this. And I opened my eyes and there was like water all over the place where I was kneeling and crying uncontrollably. And he changed my life, entered into me that day. And since that day, I remember I was different. A part of me died and I became new. And I never turned back. 3 months after that, I got baptized in water. It was the day before I went to Stellenbosch. I got baptized in water. Oh, I thank God for that moment because I had different plans for university. And just before he left, he sealed me into his kingdom and he said, "You are mine. You don't belong to the campus. You are mine." And I was, I think, the biggest evangelist on the first year camp the next day. I never looked back. Lots of trials. I remember trying to figure out who I am. Growing up in a house in my home, it wasn't always a lot of money. Sometimes I couldn't pay for things I needed to do basic things at school, whether it is to play sport or just have a bit of extra money for pocket money, whatever. I grew up in an environment like that, and I was trying to find myself. I was wondering, what is God's plan with me? And what I've come to know, and I'm preaching on that tonight, is God knows exactly what he's doing with you. And I don't know where you come from. I don't know if you grew up in a home where things was very difficult or maybe very easy. I don't know if you had great parents. I hope so. Parents are a blessing. I don't know if you maybe grew up with one parent. But what I do know is God knows you and your situation. He will turn everything for the good if you come and lay your life at his feet. That's the condition there. But let's go on and let's see what God has to say for us tonight. I want to talk about the fact that you are purposely made. You are made. Yes, aspris gemaak. Lekker woord. Yes, aspris gemaak. God was aspris met jou. He knew he wanted to make you the way you are with a very, very definite purpose. That's what I want to chat about tonight. And maybe if we could just go to slide number two. Some of these things, Andre even writes books on these things. If we go to the next slide, I just want to mention this. You have gifts. Did you know that? If you come to God, maybe we can argue those gifts in Romans 12. There's three sets of gifts the Bible mentions. Maybe we can argue that you're born with some of them. Okay, the gifts of the Father. They never really get grown and developed into full capacity if you don't come to Christ. But some of the stuff in you, it's gifted by God. Some of the gifts, like number two and three, these are things that maybe will develop or come into your life when you come to God. So he gives gifts to you. Did you know that? It's very important. But I want to move away a bit from the gifts that the Bible lists. And I want to talk about the gift that you are. If we can go to the next slide. This is a term you'll maybe hear when you read books or when people try and explain your giftings. They'll talk about your shape. Not a physical shape like long or short or whatever. But the shape of who you are, the ingredients in your body, right? And so the spiritual gifts, I'm not going to talk about tonight. Andre will help you with that. But I want to talk about your heart, your ability, your personality, and the experiences in your life. And let me just say this straight up. It's all been ordained by God. And some of the things that you maybe think is slowing you down, because you think of your past, and you think, if this never happened to me, if that never happened to me, the only thing that's slowing you down is that thinking. Everything in your past, if you bring it to God, it will accelerate you into your calling. I want to talk about that tonight. There's a there's this one guy at the rugby club. He's one of my best friends. Best guy, a whole size frame bigger than me. His name is Ben. And what happened is when they were newly wed, he started a relationship with his wife's best friend. Started on the phone, they were messaging one another, finding comfort in one another. And this good friend used to spend time with them every evening. They would kayer together, okay? But there was a bond forming. And then one night, Ben decided, no. I want to stay with my wife. And he gave the news to this other woman. And so then she said, if you are going to stay with your wife, then I'm going to drink the sleeping pills. And so she did it. She phoned him. She said, not right now. I'm taking all these pills. She swallowed it, and she locked the doors of the house. Luckily, he's a big man. He told his wife, come. His problema. His problems. Ran across the lawn, kicked over the house, broke open the door, found her, picked her up in the car with his wife. On the way to the hospital, he had to explain to his wife why she took the pills and how he knew about it. Now, is that a nice situation? Terrible. That evening, one girl's in the hospital, his wife moved to her parents, who wanted to put him in the hospital, said if he ever came near the house again, Dad will shoot him. And then God came in. One night, got into a car. There was a rugby practice far away from town. He wasn't driving with me. He was driving with another person, and also gave his heart to God. And he said, Ben, it's time you fix your life. Come to our small group. Ben came with his wife. He literally carried her into small group. She didn't want to come. She was crying. She wanted to stay at home. He brought her in, and God changed their lives. They are now two of the most faithful leaders in our church. He heads up the setup team. She heads up the hosting. God has changed their past into glory. I can't think of a worse start to a marriage. It's impossible. At this moment, they are ministering to couples in our town. She's telling wives, don't leave your husband. Pray for him. Go, get on your knees. What about your past? Where do you come from? What happened in your life? Don't use it as excuse. Use it as weapons for your future. Amen? But let's get into this. Number one, your heart. I'm going to give you 4 points tonight. Can I do that? It's 4 truths I'm speaking over you. Your heart was purposefully made. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Let me tell you what, your heart is unique. It's not quite like anyone else. Even physically, who knows what an ECG is? That thing on the movies, okay? Even that thing, it's got basic curves. That the ECG is literally points on the thing, it's where it comes from. It's a bit different than each one of us. Physically, your heart is different as well. But emotionally as well. I don't know if you've picked it up, but sometimes you are just different than anyone else in your family. Who's experienced that? Let's say everyone in your family is like, they are accountants or engineers, and you are like arty and stuff, okay? You like to think about things. You like to draw things. You're different, and you've wondered, is there something wrong with you? I'll tell you what, you're made like that. He made you like that, your heart. He loves you that way. You know what's interesting also about our hearts is it's made in a way that we can sometimes fight, okay, because we differ around opinions. I don't know if you've ever been in a small group like this. So a person will say something, and but they say it in a funny way. It's not supposed to be a funny story, but they, or maybe it happens on missions. One of the guys, they're driving and he falls from the buggy, okay. He's got a big cut on his arm. But as he's explaining it, all the guys are laughing. Ha, ah, it's funny. And the girls are crying. And they're mad at the guys for laughing. We're different. I always get in trouble like that. I think everything is a joke. And my wife will say, that was not funny. We are different. You are different. But let me tell you something about your heart. It is a gift from God. You are made that way. And I'm glad we're not all the same. And if you indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart. Listen to this. It's not important whether your heart is one way or another. What is important is, do you serve him with all of it? I promise you, and I believe this with all my heart, I've seen the worst in people and the best. And for every type of people in the whole world, there's a place in church where they add tremendous value. There's a place in this house, if you discover your heart and you chat to the leaders or to Andre, I'll promise you there's a place where you will say, man, I fit in here. I am made this way. And let me tell you what, you guys are the leaders of what's happening this year. And this church might explode and be bigger than the first one. Did you know that? You are the leaders. Bring all of your heart. You made that way. Does that make sense? Just want to show you a few scriptures before we move on. On heart. Do not be afraid. You have done all this evil. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve him with all your heart. Not by the way of eye service as people pleases, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will from the heart. Heart is so important. Keep your heart with all vigilance. Scripture says protect it. Someone else maybe have told you, Yama, your heart is like this or that. Let me tell you what, protect your heart. It's important. He made you like that. Amen, everyone? Your heart was purposefully made. Let's go on. Your abilities are from God. Did you know that? Scripture says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling, just mentioning hospitality, as each has received a gift. Specifically talking about gifts that add value in a practical sense. And he goes on to list it. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of the varied grace. Going on, it says, whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified. You can do some amazing things. And maybe you have a bad habit of comparing your abilities with someone else. That's just stupid. All right? You have your own abilities. But your own abilities that he's given you, that you must develop and serve God with those. Does that make sense? For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. With your abilities, let me show you how the enemy works as well. Maybe you have the ability to speak well, all right? Who thinks they can speak well with people? Where's a good communicator? Do you know that speech as a gift has also been used in this world to break down people and communities? Do you know deceit in speech have started wars? Do you know that false promises or lies that have been spoken in very charming ways have ended marriages? You know, your very gift can also be used against this world. So what is important is, just like with your heart, it's not what gifts you have, it's whether you bring those to God. But do you know that speech can build someone up when they need that? Do you know that speech is sometimes what's needed when someone else cannot speak for themselves. Who will speak? Maybe you are there. Maybe you have the ability to play an instrument well. I don't know what's going to come out of it. Is it going to glorify God or not? You have abilities. Question is, are you bringing those to God? Amen? Especially in this church, there's some awesome abilities the morning and the evening. You guys really have awesome worship bands. Amen? Isn't that amazing? You know, let me just mention this, because this is sometimes a very interesting topic. Do you know that to make money or to do business is also an ability given by God? And there was a man in Acts, his name is Cornelius. Who remembers his name? What did he do? He was a rich man and he served the community. He remembered the poor, like we just saw on the scripture when Andre was doing the offering. And scripture says, God spoke to one of the people and said, go to Cornelius because he's a faithful man and his offerings have come up to me and has drawn my attention. Even the ability to make money to business can be used for selfish gain or for the kingdom. I think my mic is on and off, but as long as you guys can hear me, I'm happy. Number two, your abilities are from God. I want to encourage you guys with that. Bring it in. Bring it into the church with your whole heart. Take your abilities to your small group. Some people are just exceptional in having people in their space. I don't know if you know people like that. Whenever people come around them, it's like they feel ministered to. The only thing they've done is drink coffee and eat cake. And it feels like they received the ministry. It's a gift. You have a gift, you carry it. Listen, if I ever bake a cake, just make a note. Don't try and eat it, okay? You'll probably die, okay? But some people have amazing gifts. And the thing is, when we all bring it into the house of God, we become a body. What is your gift? I don't know you guys so well. Maybe you know one another. Maybe you must encourage one another. Maybe ask your friend to go for a walk and tell them the amazing things you see in their lives. Amen? Can we go on? Awesome. Number three, God planned your personality. Did you know that? Some of you say, oh Lord, it's all your fault. See, if your husband's got a terrible personality, I hope so, not that's the case. Just tell him, don't worry, love you. I won't be mad at you anymore. It's God's fault. Okay. He made you that way. I'm just joking. There's no such thing as a terrible personality, all right? If God's got it in his hands, he redeems it. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. Your personality came from God. Let me tell you something about your personality, though. It's the same with an ability. Your personality can be a gift that gives momentum to you. But in certain situations, your personality can also act as a force of resistance. Did you know that? You are not gifted in every area. You are gifted. But I just want to say this and help you with this. It's very important that you know this. I want to read your scripture and then I'll explain why I'm giving you this bad news that you're not naturally inclined to do good in everything, okay? If we read in 2 Timothy, we see Paul writing to Timothy and he says, and for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. Paul is reminding Timothy, okay? For God gave us a spirit not of fear but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Now, Timothy, what we learn from Scripture is Timothy naturally was probably a very pastoral person. He was very kind-hearted. And Paul writes more than once and he says, I found him to be faithful. Kan op hom vertrou. But one thing about Timothy is, Hy was 'n bietjie bang. Okay, he was a bit scared sometimes to get engaged into certain matters, and he needed some motivation. Timothy, don't be afraid. Go for it. But Timothy was very faithful. And this is just one example. Some things for you will come natural, will be your gifting when it comes to personality. And other things you're going to have to work for. And what's very important is that you start to become self-aware of your own heart and your own personality. Because if you become aware of what God has naturally gifted you with, you can become a steward. Or you can master the things that naturally you're not as great at. And that's called maturity. All right? I want to give you one or two examples. Who of you naturally, this is a personality thing, okay? Naturally would say you're a bit shy. Introverts. And there's a few, you can see, all right? Now check the difference. Check the difference. Who would say naturally you are extroverts? Okay, so you actually see the hands. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Now, let me tell you something. Okay, I'm playing around with a big group, and it's not true for everyone, but sometimes this will be the case. If you tell an extrovert, it's sell tonight, we've got a small group, they will say something like, yes, amazing, cool. Okay? The introvert for them, oh, I must face the people, I'm not 100% sure. What if they ask me to pray before everyone? Okay? And here's the thing, we've got two types of people. God make both, but for the one, it's maybe easier to pitch up at a small group. Can you see that? So what the introvert must do is they must get their high need to small group, and afterwards, normally they realize, man, that was good. That was good. But now next week, they go through the same motions. Do you agree with me, introverts? If they make a commitment, a value, I will go to small group. 2 years down the line, they have developed faithfulness. They've developed strength. They become known as people you can rely on. God is working in them. Just because they know, oh, for me, people with my type of personality, it is hard. But I want to make a commitment. I'll tell you what, the extrovert people, they often terrible at other things. Take me for example. I just can't do emails. I can't send an email. It's like I don't know how. It never gets done. If I don't have someone to help me with it, there's trouble in our church. I've got financial people in our church helping me. If it was up to me, we were bankrupt. Okay? Because I'm an extrovert. Everything is cool in the party. And when someone asks me a question and it requires funds, my answer is yes. Okay? But I've come to know it. It's my personality. So what I must do is I must accept who I am, but I can grow in my weaknesses, and the same for you. And Jesus is the one who helps you to become self-aware, and you can do very well. Isn't that true? Amen? Your personality is from God. I also want to say that there's no right or wrong temperament for ministry. There's no personality. There's people that starts to follow Christ and they become faithful with what they have. And God uses them for ministry. It's got nothing to do with one way or the other. What you are is a blessing. Bring it to God continually. And you will do well. Does that make sense, everyone? Tik met jou maatjie en sê wakker bly, onthou om vanaand te floss. Remember to brush your teeth. God planned your personality. Can we go to the last one, everyone? Are you ready? Yes. Listen, I just want to say, it's very funny. In our small group, you can see the personality so clearly. Now, my wife and one of my friend's wives, Lynette, they are in the category of, I'd like to just create a personality type for them. And I'd call them the criers, okay? Because, I mean, any story that kind of leans itself to being sad, they're in tears before the end. And so when the story, because you know that moment, you know, oh, okay, I can see where the story is going. And everyone start to look at them, you know, because now, and they know what's happening. And so they've got this, they're now like trying to hold out because we know the next moment they're like, get the tissues. And then, and God uses all of us. Amen. Number four, very important. God guided your experiences in life. This is very important for you to know and understand. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of me, none of them. God knows about your past, and you are here today alive because of Him. There's just a few experiences that maybe you remember as being great or as terrible. Family experiences, educational experiences, life experiences. Maybe you look at this list and you can look at most of them and say, hey, you know what? If I think back, I'm very grateful for my family. Or maybe you think the opposite. Maybe you just wish you can start over and never hear from them again. I don't know where you walked in the past, but what I know is just like Ben and Elise, if you trust God, He will use everything in your life for the good of yourself and other people. Isn't that true? I also want to be very honest with you. Can I do that for a moment? Can I be very honest, everyone? Can I cause it to be a bit uncomfortable in this place? She'll okay. We say, oh, awesome. Bad experiences of your past in people's lives is often the thing they use as excuses not to do well. Someone will say, you know what, I've got this problem because this happened to me when I was young, or this happened 5 years ago, and this is why I can't excel at this thing. And you know what will happen? The people that hear you, they will say, shame. And some of them will really mean shame. And you will walk away and you will not grow. 2 years later, there will be an opportunity to grow for you, and you'll remember a bad experience, and you'll get your audience again, and you'll say, you know what, there's a reason why I can't do this right now, why I can't commit to this, or that this and that happened in my life. And you know what the people will say? Probably will be a different crowd. They'll say, wow, that's bad, shame. And you will not grow. And 2 years will pass, and so it will go, and one day when you are very old, you will be very sorry that the first time the opportunity came after tonight, you did not say, I'm standing up. I've had enough. That's my past. I'm standing up. Why? Because Christ is in me and I can overcome everything. But let me ask you this. If you grew up without a dad, and you've given that situation to God, and you've forgiven your parents, and you've grown, who is a better person than you than to walk a road with someone currently that's a young person without a dad? There's no one better. You've been there, and God healed you. You need to take ownership of your heart, of your pains, and also of your great experiences. Bring it to God, because I'll tell you what, there's no time to play. He wants to use you in ministry to help others. Your life has been a story up to now. If you give it to God, He redeems it and He can help you. Does that make sense? I mean, there's so many biblical examples of this. Joseph, Jonah, Saul who became Paul. It's just crazy. And the same for you. In His book, your days were written. Amen? Check this out. Who comforts us all in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Isn't that amazing? I'll tell you what, you are a story written by God. I'm not going to go into why evil things happen. Let me just tell you what, this world is evil. God wants to do away with evil. But if he presses the delete button now, we're all dead. And those who have not accepted him goes to hell. He is bearing with us at this time. That warriors of Christ will stand up. I don't care what the enemy brings against me. I will stand up. There's some people here that when they hear the message, they'll turn to God. That's the only reason why God has patience. But at this time, evil cannot work above God. Otherwise, he's not God. So he sifts it in your life. He makes sure that there's not more that comes your way so that it will break you. He's got his hand over you at this time. He loves you so much. Not so that you will just survive it, but that you will thrive and grow over and above evil. The enemy will run when you come through the doors. You are a story being written to change this world. Not only is your name and your days written in his book, the days of those who you will impact, he knows about it. You've got an assignment. You are a weapon against the enemy. Did you know that? Because you have an excuse to give up, maybe. You have an excuse to say, you know what, I'm just going to chill. I'm just going to hang around. I've had a hard life. You have that excuse, but you're not taking it. You're using it as fuel to stand up. You guys are going to do amazing things. Amen? Amen. Just look at that person next to you and say, yes, you're a world changer. Look at that person next to you and say, yes, a blowbill. Yes. I have to use my opportunities, Andre. I'm sorry. Guys, I just want to summarize tonight. I just wanted to come and just, I don't know you guys, but I know stuff about you because you're human and I'm human. I just want to say this to you tonight. You are purposefully made. Your heart, your abilities. He planned your personality and he guided your experiences. He loves you. And he knows about you. And he is busy with you. And the last scripture I just want to leave you guys with before I hand over to Andre is this. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Who knows what he has planned for you? What I do know is it's great, challenging, amazing, fruitful. It's going to impact lives. You're going to do great.